This is the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Now, standing in the way for Notre Dame and a spot in the college football playoff are two things. They have this game in Chapel Hill against what I would say is one of the five best offenses in the country. Sam Howell, De'Ami Brown, Daz Newsome, Bo Corrales, Michael Carter, Javonte Williams. I mean, Carolina has better skill players than Clemson and more of them. It's true. But I don't expect this game in 26 minutes, and please don't clip any of this, Rand. I don't expect this game to be a track meet. North Carolina's last game against Wake Forest was a track meet. They couldn't stop anybody with a net. But the way I feel about college football is there is a rhythm to it. There's an up and there's a down. There's a push and there's a pull. There's a yin and there's a yang. And I think after a 59-53 game, which was an absolute OK Corral special for Carolina, I think their defense will show up the way that it did against Clemson last year in Chapel Hill. Mac Brown's pretty clear about what this challenge represents from Notre Dame, the second best team in the country.
Practice has gone well. The guys are excited about the challenge. With challenge, there's opportunity, but they're really good. And we know how good they are. They may be the best team in the country. And I have to brag on Brian Kelly. He's Notre Dame, like Texas, is a high-profile job, and it's a great job, but a difficult job, and there's a tremendous amount of pressure every day on you, and he's been there 10 years, and I think this is his best team. And they do it right. These are bright kids, and they're very, very well coached, and they're fun to watch because we all want to get to where they are right now.
That was Mac Brown in his last Zoom call with the media before today's big game, 3:30 in Chapel Hill. That game's on ABC. It's the national spotlight. Kirk Herbstreit, Chris Fowler. Doesn't get any bigger for Notre Dame. I was told ABC brought 105 people into Chapel Hill this week to put this game on. It's like a little city considering the campus is empty. I don't know. Seems like a lot to me, Rand, but what do I know? North Carolina and Notre Dame will be kicking off at about 13 minutes in Chapel Hill. I didn't realize this. UNC's never beaten a top three team before. It seems odd. 0-27 all time against top three teams. It's one of those stats. I'm not sure where how much stock you want to put into it. Put up a yellow pad, though, on the Twitters earlier today with the nine times they've played as a ranked team against the top three. Sure enough, those games are normally close. That doesn't even include last year's game against Clemson. They were unranked. When they took Clemson to the wire last year, remember, that was a failed two-point play. So, look, close calls. I think Carolina will fight today. And I'm about to perhaps fight with our next guest on the Heister Automotive Group hotline, Nyheim Hines, Indianapolis Colts running back. Nightmare, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am here, and I have a lot of words for you. Of all the times you wanted to, you know, talk about UNC, you just wouldn't do it, right? It's like you wanted, like, for me to hear that.
I wish I was that calculating. All right, so let's have a talk about how you mortally wounded me. This is the day after your two-touchdown performance against the Titans in the first game. You get a random tweet. Hey, does Nyheim Hines have a nickname yet? They tag you on the Twitters. Here's your response. Not yet. I need one, though. Got to market it. I was thinking Roadrunner. Any thoughts? Listen, buddy.
Look. I had to make sure I was all in. You know, I just wanted to see if there were any thoughts, but we know what the nickname is. I showed you the message today. You know what we're going with. I think I'm gonna change my social media through it too. We're gonna buy in.
Okay, so listen,
yes.
I haven't been that hurt since I was dumped at a Sweet 16 dance in 1992. It hurt me.
You know what, Joe? Truthfully, in all honesty, since I left the state of North Carolina, I just haven't heard the name Nightmare as much. I don't talk to you as much.
Right.
It really slipped my mind for a little bit, and I promise you, my uncle actually watches the show every day. As soon as he saw the tweet and stuff, he literally sent me a picture of me and NC State when it was a nightmare on Hillsborough Street. And I was like, dang, Joe's going to hate me. So I promise you, like, as soon as that happened, I realized I'm
not capable of hating you, Naheem. You know this. That's why it hurts so much. That's why. I mean,
I'm just sorry, though.
I gave you the choice.
I'm supposed to represent you.
No,
I'm supposed to represent you.
I know.
That's on me. You know, North Carolina, us Garner guys got together. I didn't have your back.
There you go.
I publicly want to apologize for that.
Okay.
On me.
It's fair. It's fair. Naheem Hines, running back, Indianapolis Colts, joining us here on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. Joe Ovius is out today. Colts are in first place. I feel like not a lot of people are talking about you guys. 7-3, first place in the AFC South. You take on the Titans, also 7-3, but you have the one win over them already at home on one on Sunday. Do you feel like you guys aren't getting the respect that you deserve for being a 7-3 team?
Yeah, I feel like, each year, like, we've never really gotten the respect we wanted. We never really get the respect, but, that's the cool thing about football. We've been just laying under the radar, and that's okay, too. We've been it doesn't really matter how much respect we get. We're going out there, we're playing Colts football, and we're trying to win games. So if we're not getting the primetime games we want or the respect we want, we really don't care. We're right where we want to be, and everything that we talked about and all of our goals – before the season started, they're all in hand. So we're not going to really worry about the respect. We're going to go out there and line up and play against whoever the opponent is, and this week it's the Tennessee Titans.
Naheem Hines, Indianapolis Colts, joining us here on the OG. He's got 6 touchdowns this season. 4 of them have come in directly after appearances on this program. So adjust your expectations accordingly. Let's go back to that first game against the Titans, though. I don't know if you heard it subsequently, but Joe Buck was talking about what a great night it was for NC State. You had Phillip Rivers, Jacoby Brissett, and, of course, yourself contributing in that win. I have a question for you, and that is, who is the best trash talker that you've played with from NC State? Was it Bradley Chubb, Jalen Samuels, or is it now Phillip Rivers and his PG-13 trash talk?
Jalen Samuels is by far the best trash talker. Phillip Rivers is really good, too, but they're different types. Like, Jalen, he would talk so much junk, he would have somebody in the opposing player in their feelings. Like, Phillip's junk talking is great, but I don't know exactly what J-Sam does, but he always gets the guy out of his game. So, definitely got to go with Jalen.
Have you heard Phillip swear yet?
No.
It doesn't happen, right? Like, how does he do that?
He hasn't even gotten close. Like, I've seen him really, really upset where we took a safety. Like, he took a safety, and he didn't get close then, so I don't think he's ever going to get close.
All right. Naheem Hines, Indianapolis Colts running back, joining us here on the OG 7-3. The Colts are in first place in the AFC South. So let us know about this merchandise that you're working on, because I feel like now that you have embraced your actual nickname of the Nightmare, you're going to start selling shirts or sweatshirts. What you got? What do you got in the plans?
Shirts and sweatshirts. My agent and I were working on a deal. I just wanted to tell it to you early, but they'll come out sometime this week and sometime next week, I believe. As soon as everything works out, really, really embracing it and loving it. So that's really all I have to say. I don't really know much about it other than that, but I'll definitely let you guys know when the shirts come out and everything. And hopefully, we keep scoring touchdowns and keep making more shirts. When I score more touchdowns, the more shirts I can make, right?
Excellent, Naheem Hines, Indianapolis Colts, legend of Garner High. And I'll say friend of this program. I'll let you work your way back in. How about that?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I just need a little bit.
Not even a lot. I just need a little bit. I'll take whatever I get.
All right. I'll forgive you. Naheem, thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate you, man. And good luck with you the rest of the season. I'm sure we will check in with you during the playoffs, okay?
Yes, perfect. And thanks for having me on. And I didn't know the stat about every time I come on a game, I have a 2-touchdown game. So hopefully, just know you can take credit for if I happen to have 2 touchdowns.
Well, you get all the credit, my friend. You're the one doing all the work. So we just give you a little bit of good luck. That's all.
I'm superstitious, so I hope the luck is really great.
There we go.
I really do.
There we go. Joining us now on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline, it's NC State Athletic Director Boo Corrigan. First off, Boo, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Wishing that to you and your family. I know holidays are important. And as we know on this program, Thanksgiving is my preferred holiday. So I hope you had the best of turkey days.
Well, we had a great time. We had all of our kids here. And, you know, it's a day of no judgment.
Yes.
What it is.
See, so no pretense, no pressure.
You get to eat all you want, and no one gets to say, are you really having a third helping?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me feel good.
That's awesome. The Wolfpack are 6-3 on the season, this football season. They're on the road this week. They play Syracuse. Boo will be up at that game. You can watch that game on the ACC Network at noon or listen to it here on WRAL FM 101.5. So, Boo, so far on this year, I think you guys are a surprise. Maybe not to you, but to me. And what have been your takeaways for this most unusual football season and a successful one for Dave Doran?
I think the coach's ability, and it started back in January, and he was very reflective of himself and the staff and everything going into 2020. Who knew it was going to turn out the way it did? But, you know, we brought in several new coaches, some of whom Dave knew really well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, going back to the days with Tim Beck, I think at Kansas, and some others that, you know, came highly recommended on the defensive side of the ball from Tony Gibson. And, you know, the impressive thing to me, Joe, is the ability to build relationships and build connections when you're not face-to-face every day.
Right.
And if you think backwards to March, April, May, maybe even into June when we weren't able to go to the office. You know, a lot of it was on Zoom. A lot of it was on phone calls. A lot of it was players getting to know their new coaches and those things in a different way. And just clearly those relationships mean a lot. And clearly they made connections. And I think that's a lot to do with the success that we've had on the field this year. I'm really proud of the leadership, and that's, you know, D.A. and Grant Gibson and Isaiah Moore and on and on and on. But, you know, those three really stand out in my mind as great leaders. And if you got good leaders on your team from a player standpoint, it can make for a special kind of year.
Boo Corrigans, the AD at NC State, is joining us here on the OG on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. I'm Joe Giglio. Joe Ovius is off today. And, you know, Boo, sometimes we hear stories about ADs and head football coaches, and they go in and they make demands. Hey, you need to change this coordinator. You need to do that. My understanding, though, from talking to Dave in the offseason was you just basically asked him, hey, what do I need to do to help you avoid us having another year like 2019?
Yeah, you know, you got a head coach, and your head coach is a subject matter expert,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And my job, as I view it, is – what do we need to get better? And it's not, you know, I think you should do this because on third down in this game, we did whatever. I'm not there all the time, Joe.
Right.
And I'm not in every film session, and I'm not in every player meeting and all of those things. And really what it comes down to is, do I trust Dave Doran? Yes, I do. Is he a good football coach? Yes, he is. Do I want him to be really, really successful? Yes, I do. So tell me what we need to do. And that's really what it comes down to. And we can, you know, look at every part of it. And we spend a lot of time talking about it. And then we spend a lot of time talking about the role that Ruffin McNeil's in.
Right.
And the importance of that. And you know, the ability to, you know, I thought it was a really good position to have. Dave agreed it was a really good position to have. And then, in my personal opinion, I feel like we found the perfect guy.
We talked to Ruffin last week. You can listen to that on the Best of the OG podcast if you missed it, Boo. What a great 12 minutes to spend with Ruffin McNeil. Boo Corrigan with us now on the OG on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. I am Joe Giglio. Joe Ovius is out this week. And I was going to ask you about the bowl game because I am a bowl expert. I'm not sure if you know this. And I could put in a good word for you if necessary. But how do you view the bowl season this year? And I know you have some new tie-ins in the ACC, but feels like they're going to try to keep you guys as close to the regional game as possible.
Yeah, you know, Joe, I really don't know. I don't know if you saw this morning, but the Pinstripe Bowl canceled.
Okay.
As of this morning, and you know, really what I'm fearful of is how many of these bowls are still going to be around.
Yes.
It's a really, obviously, it's a really difficult time, and that's like the understatement of all time, right?
Yes.
Because of what everyone else is going through, and to try to compare, not, you know, losing a bowl game to what other people are going through isn't fair, and I don't want to do that. But
so that's the third, you know, one out of the ACC order. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a good thing. We're 6-3.
Yep.
We are bowl eligible, and we want to go play in the bowl, and hopefully there'll be one there. And I think we're an attractive team. I think we play an attractive brand of football. We've got a ton of really exciting players. We make big plays on both sides of the ball, and we'll see kind of where it goes. You know, that being said, any good word you can put in, obviously, you okay. know, that helps.
I'll be here for you.
You know, yeah, you know, but yeah, you know, go back for a half a second. Have you ever heard anyone say a bad word about Ruffin McNeil?
No.
You know, in what it is, and very rarely in what I do, probably in what you do, mm-hmm. is there anyone who's universally loved, right? And I think that's kind of what Ruff is. And Dave recognized that it would be an incredibly additive thing to our program,
sure.
to be able to add someone like Ruff. And, you know, who knows, Ruff maybe has some bowl people, you know, that love him too. Maybe that'll help. But, you know, we're going to pull out all the stops to get ourselves into a great situation. And, you know, quite frankly, to the best of our ability to create something for our students, you know, that makes
yeah.
it memorable.
Yep.
And go from there.
It'll be different this year for sure. Everything has been. Yeah. Boo Corrigan is the AD at NC State joining us here on the OG. All right, knock on wood, we're about to pull the football season into the barn. College basketball just started. Your teams want to know. They play again this afternoon while this program airs. What are the different challenges in the pandemic in trying to pull off a basketball schedule compared to the football schedule?
Well, a couple things. And again, I'll go backwards. And we've talked about this before, but I think John Swofford deserves an awful lot of credit for where we landed as a league and landed early with playing 11 games and having 14 weeks to play 11 games. And seeing how that has played out, and whether it's Miami, you know, adjusting their last three games or games getting pushed out or whatever it is, we don't have that flexibility with basketball. That's the biggest.
Yeah,
that's the biggest difference. There is no, well, if we don't play now, we can pick that game up in February because you just don't know. I don't know. You'd like to think we could be flexible that if we're not able to play Team A and Team B and C, one of them has it, so we could play Team C or whatever. You know, in moving dominoes, I'm watching the Queen's Gambit right now. I don't mm-hmm. know if these are chess pieces or checker pieces that we're moving around, but try to figure out how we can get games in. It's always going to be about the safety of our students, of our coaches, of our staff, and the people around the program. And make sure they're in a good environment, but it's the lack of flexibility from a spacing, not physical spacing, but calendar spacing, the ability to do that. And then the other is the contact tracing.
Yeah.
And if you have one player out, is it 12 players out or is it 13 players out? You know, and how is that going to play out as we move ahead? You know, knock on wood, to your point, we got our first win of the season, as did the women's basketball program.
Yeah. The ACC champions, names, yes.
Yep, and at least two names scored 1,000 points. We're excited about that. You know, so we're 2-0 right now, right? You know, and excited about where we are in the men's and women's program. And it's what I've told our coaches and our staff the whole time, and you've heard it. You heard it your entire life growing up as an athlete or a quasi-athlete in my place. Keep your knees bent. Right, because mm-hmm. you've got to be able to react.
Triple threat position.
And if you're straight leg, you're going to get knocked over.
That's right.
Your knees are bent. You can kind of move from there, and that's really our plan for the winter as we move forward.
Boo Corrigan's the AD at NC State. He's joining us here on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. Joe Ovius is off today, and Boo, before the pandemic, obviously your primary focus was an NCAA case with the men's basketball program, and I appreciate you can't go into any detail about that.
But you are going through a new process, so that kind of adds another layer to it. But have you been given any kind of timetable from either the NCAA or that new IARP?
Yeah, I always think of AARP as a new member.
That's right.
As how I remember the acronym. You know, it's still in the works, and it's kind of in a series of 90-day periods right now. With the NCAA, and then there's another 90 days before they move forward with the case, and there's a couple different options there, and then we have 90 days after that to respond to them, and then there's 60 days after that to respond. So it's, you know, it's not something that's going to come to a head in the next month or two, mm-hmm. right? And it just kind of continues to be out there and roll out there. That being said, you know, I mean, how about the five-person class that Coach Keats brought in?
Sure.
You know, in his ability to stay in his staff, and Roy and JJ, and, you know, their ability to stay focused on what the task is at hand and have young people come into our program is, you know, it's all you can do is control what's right in front of you.
Sure.
You know, and I think they've done a really, really good job of that.
Boo Corrigan, NC State AD, joining us here on the OG. And Boo, Auburn self-imposed a postseason ban for basketball this week based on its involvement with the Christian Dawkins case. Given all that your group has invested in this process, is that even an option at this point, or are you just committed to see this thing through the ruling from the NCAA and the IARP?
We're committed to seeing this through. I don't know, you know, if there's going to be an NCAA basketball tournament at that point in time.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't. We've looked. Rest assured, to all the NC State fans out there, we're on top of this on a daily basis. Probably has a lot more to do with my gray hair than anything else since I've been here. But you know, we're on top of it. We talk about it all the time, and have a number of people engaged from outside counsel as well that are guiding us through this. And, you know, I think it's everyone's trying to do the best thing they can, right, in what their situation is. But as you know, Joe, on these things, everything's an individual.
Yeah.
An individual case and individual circumstances. And, yeah, they are very much so.
Boo Corrigan, NC State AD, appreciate you taking the time today. A lot of people don't like going to Syracuse, but I am one who does. And, of course, a big part of that is the dinosaur. So, hopefully, I know you probably can't go into the restaurant, but if you can get some takeout, do yourself a favor and get the beans and the mac and cheese, okay?
The beans and the mac and cheese from the dinosaur?
Yes. Trust me. Those are your sides. You pick whatever meat you want, but the beans and the mac and cheese. Fastball.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Hey. All right. I'll look into that. Let me see what I can do, Joe.
All right. Hey, enjoy the trip. And
all right, Bob.
Thanks again for your time.
Appreciate it.
All right, Boo. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
All right, now let's bring in our friend Chip Patterson from CBS Sports to go through the top two stories of the day. Chip, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Let's start on a personal question, because okay. I forgot. I left you out of my list of Broughton grads of people that I know. So apologies to you, unbeknownst to you. So the day before Thanksgiving, the Wednesday night, the local bar. What was the local bar that Broughton grads went to on Wednesdays to get together and rehash high school glory?
In my entrance into that scene, it was Crowley's, down there, Medlin Drive kind of area.
Sure.
And then first of all, Crowley's shut down, RIP. And
yes.
Then it sort of graduated to The Point. Was just, I think, church, The Point / Churchill's, you know, right there at Five Points. Those are definitely the spots. You would get, over time, we would sprinkle in, like, a bunch of people we went to high school with would get together, form a band, and play a show at, like, the Southland Ballroom or Poorhouse.
Nice.
So, like, that would take that event. Like, you wouldn't need to go to a bar. Maybe still you would end up at The Point at the end of the night, but you would go to see Michael Day and Whit Murray and Webb Bostic go play at the Poorhouse. You know, like, you had some of these pop-up shows that were pretty good. Bo Nicholson also, shout out to him, There was a, we had a good little group of musicians from our crew in high school. So sometimes the Blackout Wednesday spot was a music venue, which made for a good time.
Chip Patterson, CBS Sports, joining us here on the OG. All right, Chip. Are we ready to crown Gonzaga as the best team in college basketball? Or what was Bill Self's comment? It's the best offense he's seen or faced at, since he's been the head coach at Kansas?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, the nerds already have. I mean, sure. The nerds have been waiting for, like, finally to be able to, like, see it all come to fruition. It's like the process nerds who were so excited when they felt like the 76ers were on the cusp of proving the process being right. Like, I'll say it's fine. And, of course, they're going to absolutely demolish everybody in conference play. And it'll be fine. But we still want to, like, see what they look like against one of the blue bloods of the sport in an NCAA tournament setting. Like, that's – isn't that the way that we're just going to sit on Gonzaga? Like, we will let them have 36 weeks at number one during the regular season. That's probably too many for a season. But when it comes to NCAA tournament time, me and everybody else immediately turns into doubters. So – I'm not going to call them the eventual national champions, but I'm fine crowning them as the best team in college basketball for the regular season.
And Chip Patterson, CBS Sports, joining us here on the OG. We're at number two in the What's Trending countdown. We're talking college basketball. I'm not surprised Virginia lost before ACC play. I am surprised they lost to San Francisco. 61-60, they lose. Their transfers, who played so well in the first game, did not play well today. We're not going to overreact to Virginia losing a game, are we?
No, we're not going to overreact to that, because Virginia is going to still, like, as much as everybody tried to come out with the, I think we overreacted to Virginia's first win, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and then we come back, and so we're going to overreact to this. We need to meet somewhere in the middle, because San Francisco shot lights out from three. I mean, that's, like, it's tough to win basketball games when the opposition is hot like that from outside, so... I still think that Virginia is, I don't know, like, what? Do you have Virginia as your number one team in the ACC?
I do. Okay. And that was before I knew Trey Murphy was eligible.
Yeah, I haven't had to do any basketball power rankings, and so I haven't had to really think about how I sort out that top tier. But I would say that Virginia being the number one team in the ACC is a decent argument to make, and we're not going to overreact to losing to San Francisco. But I'm also not going to believe that the high scoring in the first game is indicative of what is going to happen. They're going to fall back into their old habits. They're going to get in JPJ, and yeah, they're just going to do what they do.
A classic Virginia loss. If you don't follow college basketball or follow Virginia that closely, they're often credited with how great they are on defense. But really, truly, their specialty on defense is identifying the people they're willing to let shoot. So if your second or third best shooter actually has a good game, they're in trouble. And in this case, San Francisco went 13 of 28 from the three-point line. They had three different players hit at least three threes. Meanwhile, Virginia went 3 of 12 from the three-point line. They lost a one-point game despite being outscored by 30 points on the three-point line. How's that math for you?
I mean, that's and that's also the way that you got to beat Virginia, too, the pack line.
Absolutely. Chip Patterson, before we leave college basketball and the ACC, I was impressed with the way NC State looked on Wednesday, albeit against an outmanned Charleston Southern team. What were your initial takeaways from Kevin Keats' fourth team?
I have not gotten my actual eyes on the game. I've certainly followed up a lot, and I would say that my questions for when I do get to sit down and break it down are going to be probably related to whether or not I think the Devin Daniels performance is sustainable, whether that's a copy and paste expectation for every single game. And we're not even going to know that till later, but that's fun because he's been a fun player in flashes. If he becomes a real star and a storyline throughout NC State season, that's something cool to watch and something that's good for a Kevin Keats lineup that sure appears on paper to be a little bit deep with quality contributors, so it'll be fun.
All right, Chip Patterson, I'm going to give you a break here and let Dickie V handle the analysis for our triangle teams. In addition to that, Chip, were you slack like me and forgot today was the match part three?
I knew it was the match because I was on standby for maybe having to do something for it.
Yeah.
But thankfully, Notre Dame, North Carolina took precedent. I was very much thinking, number one, I would take Phil and Charles.
Yeah, they were an underdog.
Unbelievable value.
I was like,
there.
The pro is an underdog. I get it that Barkley's not that good. And they're up 3-0 with through 8 holes. So it looks like that's going to be a pretty good bet.
Did you see his first shot off the tee?
No, we've been watching the Carolina game.
Oh, dude, it was a baby draw, and everybody on the broadcast went nuts.
Passed out.
And, like, the swing doesn't look like it's hitching at all. Like, he's out there, playing better than all of – because everyone thinks about Charles Barkley's golf game based on, like, the same worst YouTube clips or Twitter videos, and you forget that this guy plays all the time. Like, he doesn't always have – these awful swings that get caught on camera at celebrity events. So he's like, if he can stay calm and confident in his zone, I'm sure that his performance is always so much better than his worst moments. So the same thing can be said for all of us. You know, if you take our worst moments of golf and put them together in a super cut, we're going to look terrible. You're going to be shocked. We're even making square contact with the club face. Yeah. But that was my first reaction, was I'd be all over Phil and Chuck. I haven't gotten a chance to watch much other than the highlights that are coming through, though.
Chip Patterson, CBS Sports, joining us here on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. Joe Ovius is out today. And let's move on to Chip's wheelhouse. Let's move on to college football.
Woo.
The number one story of the day.
We're number one. We're number one.
So there's a big game going on in Chapel Hill right now. They're actually at the half. North Carolina, number 19, has 17 points. Notre Dame, number 2, has 17 points. Lots of scoring in the first quarter, Chip, and then the defenses appeared to show up in the second quarter. What was your initial takeaway from the first half?
Is Ian Book going to give Kyle Trask and Mac Jones a run for their money in the Heisman race? Because that dude has played the best football of his college career, first against Clemson, then against Boston College. And here in the first half, he is doing that elusive – somebody called it the greasy pig type thing. I mean, he's doing a fantastic job of evading pressure. And, like, there was a corner blitz that Tony Grimes had where his right arm was out, and he maybe could have, like, batted the ball away. But Ian Book takes just, like, a half step to evade him. And I was just thinking, like, man, number one, I was thinking, well, Tony Grimes might be in, the Virginia State playoffs right now if he doesn't reclassify. And Ian Book might be 25 years old. I was like, that's a big age gap on that play right there. But Ian Book's playing fantastic. I would say that if you're a North Carolina fan, you are encouraged that the defense was able to get some stops in the second half. I think that the Kyle Hamilton targeting call is huge in terms of what that means for Notre Dame trying to defend a pass in the second half. And, I mean, it's looking like the kind of game that North Carolina can win, but I was expecting it to be the kind of game that North Carolina could win. So we'll see, man. Buckle up.
So was I. Carolina led 7-0, 14-7, 17-14. Notre Dame has had the response each time. Ian Book, 10 of 14, 123 yards and a touchdown. Sam Howell also on his game, 10 of 15, 165 yards and a touchdown. I did not realize Carolina was unbeaten against top three teams all time. It's standing out as a strange stat to me. I just figured somewhere along the line, an old Clemson team or an old – heck, it turns out they played Notre Dame a bunch of times when Notre Dame was number one in the 50s and 60s.
There's another bad one. It also includes Duke and Wake Forest. So I think 2004 is even the last top 10 win for North Carolina. I mean, no top 10 wins since 2004. It's a long stretch. And I think the only – I almost wanted to double check it. I think the only other Power Five programs without a top 10 win since 2004 are Duke and Wake Forest. How did our beloved little trio of North Carolina, Duke, and Wake Forest end up as the only teams without top 10 wins since 2004?
I think you know the answer to that, but I'll leave it unsaid. Chip Patterson, CBS Sports, joining us here on the OG. And before we let you go, Chip, now two of the top four teams will be without their coach this weekend. Nick Saban had previously tested positive for COVID, will not coach against Auburn, and now Ryan Day today comes down. He has tested positive for COVID and will not coach against Illinois on Saturday. Do you think either team will miss their coach in this particular game?
I think Alabama will miss Nick Saban, but I'm not talking about it in terms of the point spread or the performance, but like, I know that I'm not really somebody who always leans in on the emotional side of things, but like Najee Harris is a senior. Alex Leatherwood is a senior. Devontae Smith is a senior. It's the freaking Iron Bowl in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Like, I think Nick Saban will be missed more because you'd like to have Nick Saban at the Iron Bowl, not for competitive reasons. I still think the Tide are going to win. Well, it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't know. I don't like the spread at all because I just see it being one of those like 52-35 kind of things where maybe I'm a little bit off on my numbers, but I think it'll be a back and forth. But it's just the emotional aspect of it being Thanksgiving weekend, the Iron Bowl in Tuscaloosa. Nick Saban's going to be missed because – he's the GOAT, man. You'd like to have him on the sidelines at the Iron Bowl.
And Ohio State, who, after only four games, has impressed the committee enough to be number four.
I mean, honestly, the thing that I'd be concerned about with the Ryan Day news is, contact tracing, or like, does Ryan Day testing positive mean that we're about to get a string of positive tests? Because if the Baltimore Ravens situation has reminded us of anything, it's the Baltimore Ravens reminds me of, I guess maybe it was the St. Louis Cardinals or even like those very first Miami Marlins outbreaks. It's like, well, if somebody's testing positive, it means the virus is in the program. Who else might get involved? And, you know, Ohio State only has three games left on the schedule, and I don't think any one of them are going to impress the committee. It's Illinois this week, it's Michigan State the next week, and it's Michigan on December 12th. And then they've got the Big Ten championship game on December 19th, which is going to end up being Northwestern more than likely. And so there is not a single game that Ohio State could win by enough points that will give any Clemson fan, any Notre Dame fan, any Alabama fan, any Florida fan, the belief that the Buckeyes are as good as their undefeated record might suggest. So, I mean, just get ready to yell about Ohio State unless they lose to Michigan or Michigan State, because they're going to be undefeated and you're going to feel like they hadn't played anybody.
Chip Patterson, you can follow his work at CBS Sports. You can download his podcast, the Cover 3 podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Chip, appreciate you helping me out today, Bo.
Hey, sorry about the reschedule, but I mean, Ryan Day got COVID and Bama LSU got put back on the schedule.
No,
nope,
you're a busy man.
A busy,
totally understood.
Busy day.
Man. Thank you for spending some time with me.
Hey, of course. Y'all be well.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio Show Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. And you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. Or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.